Introducing WonderSuite from Bluehost.com, the tool that makes WordPress wonderful for everyone. Website creation is hard, but now with Bluehost, you can answer a few simple questions about your business and goals, and the WonderSuite tools will automatically lay out your WordPress website or store in minutes. Seriously. From there, you can customize your design, pick your brand colors, and add blocks. No custom theme or coding required. You'll get content suggestions that you can keep or revise. And with Yoast SEO built in, we automatically help you get found in search engines. From step-by-step guidance to suggested plugins to an AI-powered help bot, our built-in tools make WordPress wonderful for everyone. Whether you're a beginner or a pro, you can join over 2 million Bluehost users. Go to bluehost.com/wondersuite. That's bluehost.com/wondersuite.
Hey, so before we get started, I wanted to talk to you guys about Disney Plus. Now, I know by now you've probably heard about Disney Plus, the new streaming service that includes Disney, Pixar, Marvel, Star Wars, and National Geographic. With all these amazing brands in one place, Disney Plus has one of the most incredible libraries in the entire streaming landscape, and it's all ad-free. From classics like Snow White to today's blockbusters like Captain Marvel and Avengers Endgame, the content on Disney Plus is truly unparalleled. And if all that isn't enough, Disney Plus even has originals like The Mandalorian, the first live-action Star Wars series. So don't miss out. Go and sign up today and start streaming and tell them Hayes sent you. What's going on? Welcome to another episode of The Awakened Soul Podcast. And I have a special guest this week. My son, Xavier, my oldest, my 15-year-old son, my baby boy, my firstborn, is in the building this week on the podcast. And we'll get into just a father-son conversation. Then outside of that, I'll be giving tips on how to stay inspired and to avoid burnout as a creative. And this is a topic that was requested of me because I do so many different podcasts and so many different things. Somebody asked that and said it would be good to give tips. So I'm taking that and making it into a topic on this week's episode of The Awakened Soul. How rude of me. First off, I'm your host, Hayes. This is The Awakened Soul Podcast. If you're not following the podcast, make sure you're doing so at Awakened Soul Pod on every social media platform. Also, check out our Facebook group that is The Awakened Soul Podcast Discussion Group, where I'm going to be posting more topics to actually start conversation there. Really, my Facebook group up until this point has really been kind of a way for me to post and then share and my podcast and stuff. But I'm actually going to turn, since it is a discussion group and since a lot of the topics that we have here are built around spurning thought, conversation, and being thought-provoking, I feel like I wasn't utilizing that the best way that I should have been. So I'm going to be taking that and utilizing that Facebook group a little bit better going forward. So make sure you check us out there. If you want to follow me personally, you can do so at CEO Hayes, at CEO Haize. And so I already kind of did my little prefacing of what we got going on in this week's episode of the podcast. It's going to be a really fun one with my son and, like I said, giving inspiration. But before we do that, we're going to jump into my dark and twisted crazy ass mind. This week on the In the Mind of Hayes segment, I want to just talk a little bit about the Dr. Fauci emails that leaked out and kind of how the right wing is trying to take that and turn that conversation into something completely different. So we'll be talking about that right after this intro music that's about to start right about now. I'll catch you guys after this.
The following is a Breaks Media podcast.
You are now listening to the best podcast in the world, The Awakened Soul, hosted by my daddy.
All right, so we're in my mind, and so in this week's episode, I know everyone's seen it was trending, of course, Dr. Fauci lied and all of this. And so the one thing that I always say is that a lot of times in our community and in culture, American culture in general, and period, everywhere culture, people read headlines, read hashtags, and take the social media posts, or because there's such large outcry and so many people are saying it, and kind of run with it as truth without checking some of it. Now, a lot of the emails have leaked, and for anyone who's kind of paid attention, I don't think anything in there has really surprised some people. But of course, because the right wing is they're really grasping for something right now. Like Trump not winning the election
It's been a trickle down effect, right? Some of his biggest supporters have completely lost their shit, didn't know what to do, turned conversations different ways and everything after that, and really are trying to figure out what they're going to do. Over at the Daily Wire, they just fucking crazy. But outside of that, and as that's kind of, it's gone on and continued, you see more so the Republican Party now in general just trying to really grasp for something. I think they even created their own social media, and I can't remember what it's called now off the top of my head. I can't remember, but it's like a right-wing version of Twitter. But nonetheless, the way that this has turned, like literally, oh, Dr. Fauci lied and Trump was right. If you really look at the facts, none of this should be surprising to anyone. He didn't really lie about anything. Some of the information changed as we've gotten more information about COVID-19 and the virus itself and what's been effective, what hasn't been effective. And I'm not going to run down a whole list of like the things that were pointed out that were wrong that actually weren't, because what I want to do, and I always talk about doing your research, I'm going to point you to one of the resources that I use religiously, especially with political things, but kind of just in general when something comes out with news and everything, is this website called factcheck.org. And why this is such a bit like a beneficial for anyone who's a creative, anyone who, you know, kind of doesn't have time to go to all these different news websites and see what's being said on one versus the other to try to disseminate. If you really go there, they give you basically everything. They basically outline what's being said by the mainstream media, and then it breaks it down in the next paragraph and says why it is either factual or fiction. They really break it down, and even they'll break it down to the point where it's, hey, it's a partial truth. This is the part that's right. This is the part that hasn't been substantiated. And it's overall, I think it's a great resource for people who want to stay abreast. And like I said, especially creatives who kind of sometimes are afraid maybe to speak about certain things because it's just they don't have all the facts. It's really a one-stop source research. It's one-stop source for you to really find a lot of this information out. And like they even cite their sources and why. So it's really, really good. There's another one like that I don't have off the top of my head. That's another fact check one. That one's more just political based. If I remember to do it, I'll put it in the description so you guys can go. But I'll definitely put factcheck.org in the description as well. Just so you guys can, like I said, just really makes it easy to find some of this. And especially with like the shooting in Minnesota, how, you know, some of it was said, oh, and I saw my first initial time of seeing that conversation on social media was really just someone saying, oh, well, they found empty casings in his car. He let out shots. It's his fault that he lost his life, which none of that has been proven at this point. But stuff like that is also on there as well. And so especially like when you're talking about politics, or if you're talking about something like shootings and, you know, versus what's being said in the media versus what's actually been proven and released so far, it's a great and powerful resource for that. And it's one that I use quite often, especially more so over the last year and a half. I've really been using that more, and then still other like, and this is something that I don't want to drill home as well. Never trust just one place, because there is so much out there. Like, so factcheck.org is kind of one that I go to really, all right, see what's being said, get some of the other facts, but then I'll still go and check a couple of other places as well, just to see kind of what else is out there to make sure that factcheck.org may have not been updated. Maybe it was something going on there where the website hadn't been updated in a couple of hours. Maybe new information has come out. So it really just use it as a jumping off point in one of your places of research. Don't use it all as, like I know I said it was a one-stop shop, but I mean one-stop shop to kind of catch up. But still, just make sure. And it says the last time that it was updated. So like when you go on these specific articles or these specific topics, it'll say 8 hours ago, it's 12 hours ago. So that way, if you've kind of heard that new things have come out and you see that factcheck.org hasn't been updated in a few hours, then you know that they probably don't, or in a day or so, they don't have the most recent information. So you can kind of continue to use it. So that's what I wanted to point out with that. But as far as like the Dr. Fauci emails, I think I've said it, if you didn't get my opinion on it, from what I said earlier, none of this was surprising. None of this at all. The whole Fauci is lie thing is just, in my opinion, it's the right trying to grip on to whatever they can to try to point shit out. And so We know, even when Trump was in office, like, it's always seemed like it was kind of a combative thing with Dr. Fauci and his facts. And, you know, and that's one of the issues with the previous regime and the people that were in office, is that it seemed like, to me, that they wanted to be magnified rather than it being the facts being magnified or what's actually going to help people. And so I'm just glad to see, you know, I'm glad to see that the emails did come out, because a lot of the stuff, actually, in my opinion, like, we're actually reading it and looking at it, a lot of the stuff that was said, that Dr. Fauci has said, it kind of solidified a lot of what he's been, what he went through, and how his thought process evolved over the course of this pandemic. So that's my opinion on that during this In the Mind of Hayes segment. And so, like, and I know I kind of touched on it before then, and, you know, unfortunately, there was another fatal shooting in Minneapolis, and I think I said Minnesota earlier, but it's Minneapolis. And as of right now, there has been no video release from the shooting. And this one involved U.S. Marshals, not just the police officers. So, and it's unfortunate. We talked a little bit about it. We talked more about mass shootings on the Breaks Radio this week. But it's unfortunate that not really much has changed, right? And this has been something that has continually gone on and been evident. Like, as much as there's outcry, as much as there's you know, the social media notice, unfortunately, right now, stuff isn't changing. Not at the rate that it should be, in my opinion, and many others. But this highlights why, when people ask for, like, police reform and they have those type of conversations, this is why you're seeing it being so passionate, because the shit is not fucking changing. And so when you have such, like, high alert and a constant stream of this shit, it's upsetting. And, you know, I'm gonna wait to talk as more facts come out before I really dig into this. That's why I'm touching on it, but not really getting into it. But overall, loss of life is always unfortunate. It's always unfortunate. And so, you know, as the facts continue to come out with that, we'll talk about it more. We'll see what's going on there. But, you know, that's it on the In the Mind of Hayes segment this week. Well, one thing. So both of those topics were political and heavy. The one last thing before I go, and this is something that is personal to, well, not personal, but I talk about music a lot on the Breaks Radio, and we'll probably do a whole review of the album. But Lloyd Banks dropped a new album, and all I can say is, as someone who was a former Lloyd Banks fan, and who saw the promise that his career could have had, it's refreshing to see him drop an album like this, and you can feel the maturity in it. No G-Unit politics, just bars and good music. So if you're someone who it's just a friend of hip hop, right? Of hip hop. I don't know. There's not going to be any club bangers or nothing on this. Just pure hip hop. Go and listen to the Lloyd Banks album. That's my last little piece of things that are in my mind before we continue on. So we're going to jump in after a brief break. We're going to jump into the conversation between me and my son. It runs about 16, 17 minutes. Unfortunately, there was an audio issue in it. So the audio isn't as crisp as what the rest of the podcast will be too. But I feel like it's a great conversation with just father and son, and him talking about his first year being a freshman and what it was like to be a freshman and start high school in the midst of a pandemic and not being able to physically go to school. So it's just a great conversation between me and him. As always, timestamps will be in the description. Like I said, there's a slight audio hum, hiss, whatever you want to call it. I couldn't quite get it out even with my audio editing, and for some reason, while before we recorded, it sounded fine. But I do want to preface, they call me the audio quality Nazi. Audio quality is one of the biggest things that we focus on here at The Awakened Soul, and I always want to deliver the best audio possible. And I thought about re-recording it, but just because of the nature of the conversation was free-flowing and natural, I didn't really want to sit down and have my son re-record that and us go over it, because it wouldn't have been the same. You get to see his goofiness and us cutting jokes at each other, so I didn't really want to take that specialness out of it. So hopefully you can bear with us through that, but we'll get into that right after this break. And then the other side of that, we'll end this podcast with me giving some pointers on how to avoid burnout as a creative and how to stay inspired. We'll see you guys right after this. Listen, I'm really excited for this one. For anyone who knows me, knows how much I love my kids. Me and my daughter, Amaya, did an episode called More Like Than Different. It's honestly one of the best episodes I think I ever produced. But my oldest has not been on. You have been on the podcast before, but it's been a while. So we're going to go ahead and introduce my oldest son. My 15-year-old Xavier Johnson is in the building.
What up, Hayes Nation?
You're so funny, son.
It's a gift. It's a straight gift.
Fair enough. So, I mean, do you have anywhere you want to start at?
Nothing I have in particular.
Okay. Well, first, I got a couple of questions that I want to ask you. First up, first year of high school. What was it like? Because I think, like, we've heard teachers, you know, some kids have talked about it, but what was it like starting high school, something that's so new, in the midst of a pandemic?
It was very different. Half the school year, we weren't even at the high school for real. So it was like, by the time they started blending schedule, which is the first in-person schedule. Will you shut up, Simba? It felt like the first day of high school, and then the next thing you know, it's already summer.
Yeah.
Where did the time go?
I really can't even imagine just how difficult that probably was for you. And the reason why I say that is because, like, for me, I know high school was already a difficult transition for me, right? And I didn't have to worry about high school in the midst of a freaking pandemic. So, like, and then I think, too, like, when you start high school, it's already, like I said, it's a transition period. And then you kind of feel out of place because there's, like, where is everything in school? Now, you didn't have to worry about that, but do you feel like you weren't as connected with, like, your teachers and some of your classmates? Because, I mean, you guys weren't even in the same building until, like you said, halfway through the school year.
Right. I honestly didn't. I started showing a side that I rarely show, which is, like, my inner shy side. Like, mm-hmm. I rarely show that to anyone. And it was like going to first day of preschool all over again. What the freak is this right here?
Yeah. I mean, in high school, it's difficult. Now, you had an added extra layer because you're an athlete. So you played on the basketball team. Did you ever feel like maybe your team wasn't as connected because you didn't have as much? Like, I know for me, I played football. I didn't play basketball in high school. I played football and baseball. And I know for me, a lot of the team building, yeah, it was done at practice. It was done games and everything. But some of it was also done just interacting throughout the day of school. Like, if you had one class with somebody, like, you guys already knew each other from being on the team, so you kind of had that connection there. Do you think, like, your team was kind of disconnected because you guys didn't have that same in the school feel?
It was kind of, like, mixed. Like, throughout games and, like, practice, we turn up. But then, for me, I have classes with none of my teammates. I had class with none of my teammates. So it was kind of, like, hard to just get into the rhythm. Apart mm-hmm. from, like, last year where I could actually hang out with them.
That makes sense. Now, since when school came back towards the end of the year, you went half-time for a while. And then by the end, you were going back full-time. Did that awkwardness that you said that you felt initially in that shyness, did that go away by the end of the school year?
It definitely did. And I think really basketball really helped me with that too. Like, it really helped me bust out my shell again.
You went through a huge growth spurt between the end of middle school and the beginning of high school. I always talk about it, like, literally, I believe, and I don't want to get to embellishing, but you grew close to a foot over last summer, right? Yeah, and so, like, so then to think that, like,
not I'm about to be Shaq over here.
Exactly. Not only did some of your people that you went to school with before, you basically went almost a whole year without seeing, because the end of middle school to the beginning of high school, you guys weren't in person. So, no. Like, how shocked was some of your friends to see you when high school came back, to see how much you had grown in that year?
Jaw dropping. They were just sitting here like, is this kid right here?
Yeah. And so when I started high school, I know for me, I didn't have the facial hair. It was sophomore year for me, but I knew everybody looked so old. Like, all the seniors looked so old to me when I started high school.
Them boys ancient.
And you probably looked older than some of them because of your height, your size, and then the facial. You have a damn beard, son. Like, what the fuck is that about?
I honestly have no idea. And I remember, like, first high school, people thought I was a junior or senior.
That's crazy.
And then when I tell them I'm actually a freshman, they're just sitting here like, man, this dude lying. This dude lying. He ain't no freaking 15-year-old.
So, you're my oldest. You're my oldest.
And the original. The original project.
OG. That's your new nickname, OG, since your cousin stole your nickname, Zay. We're going to start just calling you OG. But tell me if you agree or disagree with this. I feel like you become more like me the older you get. And it's freaky. Not only do you look exactly like me, you walk just, like me.
This, it's you just talk the skin like tone. Me. It's just different. That's the only difference.
Skin tone is different, but like even like your sense of humor. I know I'm more of a reserved person now, and I've had to grow into that as an adult. But like, I don't know if Grandpa or Nona have told you, like, as a kid, your sense of humor was the exact same way I am. Like the goofiness, the making everything into a joke, like. And for me, the reason I was like that is that I think that was my way of standing out because I had a bunch of siblings. You have a bunch too, but you're the oldest. Like, do you feel like your sense of humor is you? You are very much you and your own person. And the one thing that I will say that I love about you is that you are comfortable in your own skin, and that's something that even people my age sometimes struggle with, truly being comfortable in every situation they are. So, like, do you feel like that's why people are drawn to you? Because, I know sometimes people say, like, you're more personable than me. And I don't necessarily think that's true. But I think that people are more drawn to you than they are me now because, like, you're just you. I'm standoffish. I don't trust nobody when they first pop up. But you invite everybody in as, like, family initially. And you have this welcoming spirit to where you just want people to feel comfortable. So
that's always been my personality.
Yeah, always has been. Always, and I love it. Love that about you because I don't have that because I don't like people. So let me stop. and like your creative side starting to come out. So like, and that's one of the things that I am just so proud of you, and that we're alike in, but it came naturally, and that is like seeing you start your YouTube channel and like started from your camera phone to like a webcam to like now you have a camera that you got for your birthday. Shout out to Dad. By the way, I got a shameless plug.
Thank you.
But it's just funny how like I found my creativity literally the year I turned 30. You're finding it now at 13, 14 years old. You're 15 now. And like when you see that and you see that we've kind of learned it at the same time, and have you realized that like I was on YouTube the same time you popped up on YouTube, and we never even talked about it? It's funny, like, so do you ever look at like what I do and then or like I want to do that too, or has it always just been kind of your own thing?
When I first started, it was started off like that, and then I just started doing my own thing now.
Yeah,
like we were talking about earlier, my friendly personality and that opening, I just decided to use that into YouTube.
Yeah. I mean, and it's definitely worked out for you so far too. That's the thing. Far. Like, to see you doing like the challenges and the hot chip challenge and stuff like that. It's like, this boy,
number one, I'm not doing that again. Not anytime soon.
So one of the questions I asked you the first time you were on the podcast, this was
years ago.
I think it was like my fifth episode. So that would have put it like almost 4 years ago. So you would have been like 11 or 12. I asked you, is it difficult with the fact that I kind of have higher expectations from you guys than a lot of probably the people, the kids your same age, right? And that's because I see what you guys are capable of. And all of you, all four of you are smart as hell. You catch on to everything quick. Like, I can't stress that enough, how quickly you guys catch on to stuff that I'm just like, it would have took me years to figure that out. But now, as you are really becoming a man, a young man, I swear, people, anyone who's listening to this, I'm not just saying this because he's my son. You will literally hold the door open for somebody who's still in the parking lot just because you see them coming. And like a lot of people your age don't hold doors open, unfortunately, and stuff like that. Like, Has that ever kind of made you feel awkward amongst people the same age as you, that you have kind of a more old school sensibility? You open doors, you walk your mama to places still, like you protect women.
I'm gonna do that in my 30s. I don't care.
Have your friends or the same people your age ever asked you, like, dude, what are you doing?
Not that I remember, to be honest. Okay. They probably had, like, that look, but I don't remember them asking. Well, I have a bad memory, so I don't know. I got the Dory mentality over here.
And so you live in St. Louis still. I'm in Columbus. And I remember when I told you I was moving to Columbus, you busted out in tears, and it literally was the hardest thing in the move. I feel like I made that move because it put me in a better position to provide for you guys, even though it kind of unfortunately had me move states away. It has been 4 years at the end of May since that happened. Yeah, it's been 4 years already since I moved out here. And remember, initially I thought I was only going to be out for like a year or two, and it just what was that process like for you, for real? And I know you don't like talking about emotional stuff because you're Xavier and you're the oldest and you gotta be strong for your siblings and everything, but like, how hard was that transition? And when I first moved, I think I created this unrealistic expectation because I was still coming back to St. Louis like almost every weekend. And unfortunately, like that, then I was still seeing you probably like, what, once every couple of months I would come, and then you spend the whole summer out here. But then the pandemic happened, and literally from summer to summer, I basically didn't see you, unfortunately, because of just everything that was going on. And that was the longest stretch we ever went without seeing each other.
COVID literally just put the Great Wall of China
exactly
right into the middle exactly. of that.
But this is why I like to say that, like, it's parenting is more than just being there. Like, even though I wasn't able to physically see you face to face, I was very present. We talk all the time. We text, even though you don't call me back since you get turned into a teenager, since you're Mr. Popular.
So what had happened was
but nonetheless, with that, it's like, how difficult was that transition for you, really?
I actually haven't thought of that since the move. I feel just cliche, but as first it started pretty difficult. Uh-huh. But as I saw you more often,
kind of just is what it is. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, we work it out as a family. And I think
the Johnson way over here. That's how we do it over here.
I think we it's gonna go back to more what it was before the pandemic now, because especially with basketball, I'm gonna be all in your butt. but it it sucked. And I just, you know, I'm sorry, because for me, that was one of the most difficult decisions I've ever had to make as a father, because it's like, all right, do I stay in a city where I'm not flourishing at? And I'm technically unhappy because the job market there sucks ass. and it affected the way I'm able to provide for you, or do I move? And that's why I'm glad that I did. It's not like I moved half the country away. Like, it's a 5.5 hour drive, 3 hours if your mom meets me halfway, so it's not that big of a deal that way. But it's just like, I went from literally seeing you all throughout the week and every other weekend to,
I was gonna say, at one point it was like once every other day. Right.
Well, yeah.
Like Monday, I was with mom, then you, and then it just kept going.
It kind of, so your mom had you Mondays. I had you Tuesday and Wednesday. Then she had you Thursday, and then we alternated Friday through the weekend, depending on whoever had you that weekend. I think it was like that. Yeah. So that's how we did it for the longest, and it was great. Being able to split 50-50 and have you there. And it sucks that it can't happen now, but what I will say, and this is why anybody who's listening to this, it is important to maintain a good, healthy co-parenting relationship, because me and your mom have a great co-parenting relationship. And even though...
you can't be making those noises around black people. We take off on that.
Hold on, we're going to take a pause. Hello?
Hey. Look, you scared Leo too.
All right. Yeah, if I'm pretzel and pizza rolls is what I'll do.
Not the pizza rolls, that sounds good.
Oh, okay, cool beans. It's even easier. All righty, cool beans. But yeah, that's why it is important to maintain a good, healthy co-parent relationship, to where you guys can communicate, because me and your mom communicate about things with you, what you need, coordinating who's going to get you when and where and stuff like that. And it hasn't always been that way, right? I don't know if you remember or not, but there was a period in time when me and your mama couldn't talk at all. So literally drop off, pick up, and then we wouldn't interact at all. And like, I think it was best for that time, because we were getting over not being together, but it was best for you at the time because you didn't get to see your parents arguing. And then we were able to work on our co-parenting relationship, and now we have a very solid one. I don't even remember
you guys arguing.
And that's good. That's good that you don't, because like it was a short amount of time that it was that bad, and we were able to get it together and be better. But like the way you've seen the way me and your mom try to work together to help parent you, right? Do you have any other friends whose parents are together? I know we're like, you go to school in South County, which is predominantly white, and I know they tend to have both their parents, but like, do you have anyone else that you kind of relate to that doesn't have that both their parents aren't still together?
The only person that I know for sure is like my boy Jackson that I've known since
I remember kindergarten. Jackson. Yeah.
That's pretty much the only other person and that I know of.
Is it kind of the same situation as yours? Do you, as far as you know, do their parents kind of work together pretty well?
But no, I remember he said at one point that dad just basically abandoned them.
Oh wow, that's something you will never have to worry about. Thank God, because I refuse. I can't, and that's the thing. Like for me, I'm just like your grandpa. Like I can't imagine living without my children. Like my life without you guys would be fucking horrible. So like I couldn't even imagine not seeing you guys and abandoning any of my children. Like I've said this on the podcast before, not to even get mushy, like some of my best times as a parent, it's not even me doing anything with you guys. It's literally just listening to you guys interact, like you and Lana playing a game and talking stuff to each other, Alan irritating you and you doing your absolute best not to let him get to you, and I can hear it in your voice.
I just had a lot. I'm about to kill him.
But no, son, I love you, man, and I just wanted you on and have a quick conversation with you because it's been so long, and literally, like, your voice, everything about you in the episode that you were on is so different.
We're twins.
Yeah. Well, no, now we're twins. I'm saying back then it was so different.
Back then it sounded like this. Oh, hi there. It's me, Mickey Mouse.
It's just good to get an update for everyone. And, you know, tell everyone if tell them your gaming channel. Shout out your gaming channel so you can get some viewers.
My gaming channel is Xavier O'Shea Gaming. I cannot talk for the life of me because I sound like Porky Pig. But that's it. My gaming channel is Xavier O'Shea Gaming. And my Twitch is X-Men364, I think.
Instagram. You want to plug your Instagram or no?
I can never remember this. For life. I changed it recently, so I can't remember. It is O'Shea Savage.
There you go. All right. And that has been my son, Xavier. Make sure you guys check him out.
The Return. What he does.
He's a hoot. If you can't tell from this, he's freaking hilarious. And you know, maybe before the summer ends, we'll get an episode with me, you, and all your siblings. That'd be super interesting to see if you can work that out and how that will go.
I think it'll work out.
Alan's well. Gonna snitch on everybody.
Yeah, he's gonna go 6ix9ine, Tekashi 6ix9ine, everybody.
Wow. So,
I'm sorry, but.
All right, that was my boy, my firstborn, my pride and joy. Like, I love all my kids, and it's just, I think all my kids have appeared on the podcast, right? All of them have appeared in different ways, and so they all have their own hugely unique and different personalities. No, none of my kids' personalities are quite the same, and, you know, I know you can say that about anyone. But they're just really all over the place. And that's what makes this family special. That's what makes my time with them special. Our time with each other special is that we just have a unique and crazy bond. And we all balance each other out in different ways. And so, definitely. So enough with that. I said I was going to be talking about it, and this was something that was actually going to be the topic, I think, 2 episodes ago. But, you know, some stuff happened called Audible and that. But I wanted to definitely get to this because it was asked of me. And so I have 3 weekly podcasts that I do. 4 when the film frequency is going on consistently, and also My Brother's Keeper, which is kind of whenever me and JB feel like recording that one. But on top of that, my short films, my photography business, my full-time job, and me being a parent. And so, like, someone asked, how do I not get burnt out in doing this? And my answer to how I don't get burnt out has always been because I love this. And because everything that I talk about on this podcast and on each podcast are things that I'd already be having conversations about that, whether it was a podcast or not. So that's always been kind of my pointers on how to, like, pick your topic with your podcast and to avoid getting burnt out. And I've never felt burnt out of this. I've been tired just from life, and there's been times where, you know, I've just been tired, but never burnt out. There's never been a time where this podcast has been a struggle for me. That's not really a way to quantify it, right? It's hard to tell someone, well, just pick what you love, and it'll never be that. So I had to sit back, and this made me internalize it more than just, like, yes, all the things are things that I love talking about, but why is it that helps me avoid burnout, right? And I think the first tip that I want to give is, if you feel yourself starting to lack in the inspiration, if you feel yourself starting to get burnt out, it's to first find a way to reignite that inspiration. Whatever you started your podcast for a reason, you started your vlog for a reason, you started it all for a reason. There was a passion, usually and hopefully, behind that. And so sometimes you need to find a way to reignite that. And then, you know, the rest of this list is kind of going to all benefit this one, is find a way to reignite that inspiration. And for me, to talk about it for me specifically and how it affects me, I think me doing so many different podcasts, I think for me, like I said, me doing so many podcasts actually helps me reignite it every time, because every topic I do is completely different, right? And so they kind of build off each other over the course of the week. I always start off, The Awakened Soul is the first one to drop during the week. And so me talking about the things, it gets that creative spirit going in me. And then talking about hip hop, more culture stuff on The Breaks Radio, talking about films and movies on the Film Frequency, Love, Lesson, Badass. So, like, those are all things that they kind of build off each other and they fuel me in different ways. But that all comes back to this first pointer I'm getting. It's change something, right? So for me, the things that I usually change are the topics that I talk about. It's the different people that I get to interact with on each one of the podcasts that I do, because they all have their own cast and all different hosts. The reason why I say that, and for those who don't have multiple creative outlets, when I say change something, I mean change, find what you do, but do it, find a different way to do what you usually do, whether that's moving your recording space around, recording in a different area. Like, most of the time now, I think a lot of people have laptops. Recording equipment is usually mobile, unless you're recording in the studio that you pay time for. But change something in your routine to get some new inspiration in life. Like, for me, you guys know, last year I went through a complete remodel of my studio. My studio was completely functional the way it was. But moving it around and doing it different ways, I've got more creative in what I do with my intros, what I do on the promo clips. And just a new breath of creativity in general came into me. And that was because I changed something. That I changed the space that I recorded in. I changed it again recently. It's nothing that you guys will see on this side of the camera, but some stuff on the other side of the camera I changed as well. And so that, I know when changing and moving things around builds new energy. Get some new experiences. Outside is open back up for the most part, with restrictions, of course, but go out and do something that's going to get your creativity. Go out and do something, like, new experiences. You will, even if it's not something that aligns with what you talk about in podcasting or whatever, those new experiences, it just adds new energy to you. And you'll be amazed at how that comes back into fueling your actual creativity. Like, and in the promo video of this, or on the YouTube video of this, I'm sure I'll cut in, or you guys who follow me on social media scene, like, me and my son got out, we basically went on a hike up the dam and took the drone out and flew it. And, like, that was a change to my routine. And doing that helps breathe new energy into me. Like, and I said it on my short film, The Creative, like, how going out and taking pictures of me helps prepare my mind to come back into the studio. Like, the photo shoot that we did at the Columbus Love Mural, and the whole time I'm snapping that, and when I got back home, like, my creative juices were flowing so much. And that's something that it benefits me that I have so many different creative lanes, because they, like I said, they all kind of build off of each other. Me being able to go out and do photography, nailing that shot, getting to see the city from a different perspective, going out to a different place that I haven't been in the city yet, all that stuff helps me come back to the Awakened Soul and keeps my energy high, and I avoid burnout. Like, really, change something that you're doing. Doing something the exact same way when you're not feeling inspired, or if you're feeling burnout, it's not going to help ignite any change. it's not going to help you change anything. If you do something the same exact way every single time, it's really, you're just hurting yourself. Find a way to change it. Find a way to record with somebody new. Find a way to bring in some new life and interact with some new people. Go out and get some new experiences. Go out and support these other creatives. Interact. Go on a vacation. Go on a trip. Go on a hike. That stuff really does help you keep you inspired, because if you're a true creative, everything fuels that creativity. And so once you figure out a way to break up that routine, and this is the next tip, by the way, once you find a way to break up that routine and add some new fire to you, find a way to then work that into your routine. By that, I mean, if you have a park that you can go walking in or hiking in, take a picture in, or a mountain, or a new place to go work out, a new place to go record, whether it be outside, whether it be at a brewery, which we've done before, but then find a way to work that into your routine. That gives yourself a mental break from the day to day. And I don't mean make it so part of your routine that then that becomes your norm. I just mean, like, hey, if you know going on a hike once every 3 months and getting to the top of that mountain, to the top of that hill, whatever it is, you feel refreshed after all that, find a way to then do that once every 6 months. Find a way to do that once every 3 months. Find a way to take a vacation every couple of months. All that stuff is not going to do anything but help you with your creativity and help avoid feeling burnout. And then the next one, drop what doesn't stick. Like, I think as creatives, sometimes we get so caught up in it, especially if we're finding success. This plagues people who are successful being a creative more than anything, is that we get caught up in holding on or keeping something the same because we feel like it's working, or we feel like it's such a big part of the show that if we stop doing it, it's going to be missed. Listen, everything that you're going to do is not going to stick. Everything that you do is not, hell, I could bring it back to me. I used to have the stupid idiot of the week. And while it was funny, while some people loved it, while I loved doing it, I really feel like that part of the podcast started to become forced. And so I may bring it back in a different way. Like, if I just see something somebody's doing, I may hit that sound effect, the stupid idiot of the week, and just bring that back. But like, I dropped it being a reoccurring segment because it really, yeah, it broke it up some, but it didn't break it up in a way that felt organic to what the rest of the content of the podcast was. So I dropped it. And so we got to, as creatives, you can't be afraid to drop things and find new things. If you drop what's not sticking, that means you have to bring something in to replace it. And guess what? That gets that creative juices flowing. And you're not going to feel burnout if you're trying to figure out something new. At least I don't think you will. I won't. So that's one of the things with that. And then last one, you can't sit still and try to force creativity. That's the one thing that I always say is, like, it's different when you're a content commentator, right? Meaning that everything that you produce is commenting on somebody else's creative work, like with the Film Frequency, right? I have to sit still and watch the movie. So that does force my creative with that. But I'm saying, like, as a true creative, somebody who's trying new things, somebody that is trying to build, whether it's build something out that hasn't been done before or do it in a unique way, you can't sit still to force that creativity. You can't sit in front of a computer and in front of a mic and just think you're going to force this creative spurt, this creative streak, this creative gene. You can't do that. You have to get up. You have to move around. You got to get the fuck up out of the crib, right? You got to do these things to help reignite that creativity. Because if you're sitting down in the studio, if you're sitting down in your chair trying to write out your episodes or whatever else, and you just sit there and think you're going to fight through it to force it, I'm sure that works for some people, but it's not going to work for every creative. Sometimes you got to get up, you got to get out, you got to do something. Wait, that's a song? Is that a lyric that that was not intentional, people. I promise you that was not intentional. But you gotta add some new experiences, man. You can't force the creative gene. You can't force that creative mind. I get inspired by some of the weirdest shit that you guys that literally will have nothing at all to do with what the fuck I'm talking about that week. But because I got out, because I did something different, it helps keep me fueled. It helps me avoid burnout. I can't stress enough, especially for me. I know having kids is an adventure every goddamn day. So I think for me, like, sometimes some of the things that I'm doing with my kids just helps me stay really focused and creative. But you got to find what works for you. You got to get out and try new things and do things in different ways. You're never going to force yourself into a creative breakthrough, right? Sometimes you have to allow that to come. Us as creatives, especially since I'm a photographer and filmmaker now, some of the inspiration that I find can't be from just sitting down saying, I'm going to write a film today. And this then I'm going to go out and record. No, it has to be like going down to the short north of the arts district here and walking around, seeing some graffiti, seeing people interact on the street, and like me building out like what that whole interaction was. And then I can turn it into a story or a short. Like, you got to get out. You can't force the creativity. Sometimes you have to let it come to you. And that's something that I've said before. You're always a creative. A true creative is always creating in some shape, form, or fashion, whether you realize you're doing it or not. And so sometimes when you try to force it, you're really just putting yourself in, putting another block there where go out, go do something different. This podcasting thing, whether you make money at doing it or you don't, whether you want this to eventually be your full-time career or you don't, whether whatever it is, you have to be able to get up and let that creativity come to you sometimes. And I feel like as a creative, that may sound bad. What do you mean, let the creative? Aren't you supposed to be creating? Like, you got the inspiration, staying inspired and staving off burnout, especially in a time where if you're talking about deep stuff, sometimes like I do here, or if you're commenting on politics or out in the world, like the world can be a fucking depressing place, right? If you look out and you're taking so much in, and that can bog you down. That alone can cause some form of burnout. But if you're getting those new experiences, it's not just sitting there and letting that dictate what you create. You'll be really surprised at how far, how passionate, and how all this stuff goes. And overall, like, I'm glad that this topic was asked of me. I'm glad that it's something that somebody was brought to me, because, you know, it made me think in a different way, right? And again, that helped fuel my creativity, because I've always said with burnout, hey, I proudly say I've never gotten burnt out, but I've never really stopped to think, why is that? Why is the exact reasons why I do so many different creative things each and every week, and then I work on things for other creatives and shit? Like, why is it that I never get burnt out? Why is it that I never get tired of this? It's easy just to say it's my passion. And it is. This is very much my passion. Filmmaking is my passion. Photography is my passion. They are all my passions, and I get to do them now and generate some income, but I get to do the things that I love daily. And so why is it that I'm not getting burnt out by doing these things? What is it that's keeping me from feeling that burnout? And really, it just comes to the things that I listed out here. I change things all the time, whether it's in my house, whether it's in my studio, whether it's in my life, whether it's going to get out and get new experience, how I grew up in Europe. So like, change is nothing for me. I love change. I love something that makes me feel different. I love something that makes me think different. So I go out and seek those things that change something in my life. And then break up my routine. Like I always say, like, yes, the planning out of episodes, the recording of episodes, that routine I'm stuck in, but how I do those can be different. There was a time where for a while there, I was recording the little promo clips. I was going outside and doing something. Or I was going outside and like, yeah, filming something, whether it was something. And what I was doing there is I was changing that routine. I was breaking up the routine. Yeah, part of the routine is releasing an episode. Part of the routine is releasing a promo clip. But how I do those things, how I go about filming those, change. How I go about getting my inspiration for those, change. And then like working that into my routine, just go over the list again. Like I have to get out. Like I have to. Like I have to travel. Me traveling, be in New York soon. All this stuff, it adds to my experiences. It adds to my creativity because I get a new energy from that, from every city that I go to, and people that I interact with there, and drop things that don't stick. That I'm the one thing that I'm glad I have with the Awakened Soul, or overall in general, is that I'm not afraid to drop anything. The reason why Love, Lust, and Bad SO hasn't been released in a while. Reason why Love, Lust, and Bad SO originally changed co-host the first time. Because you have to do something sometimes. And it may not always be popular. It may not always get the best reaction. But you have to do things that are going to keep you engaged and keep you inspired in what you do day to day. And then not force creative ideas. And that's something that, honestly, I think when I first started The Awakened Soul, I did used to try to force them. By that, what I mean by how I used to try to force it is I felt I had to have a guest on every single episode. Go back and listen to the first year and a half of The Awakened Soul. I had to have a guest. I thought I had to have a guest on every single episode. And what that was really doing is that was me relying on the energy that they brought in to change things around it. Where it like over since that time, the 2.5 years since then, because we're almost at a 4-year anniversary, the 2.5 years since then, really, it's more episodes with me solo than recording with somebody. And it's been, and I've had my most successful years in doing that. And that doesn't mean that I don't enjoy collaborating with other creators. It doesn't mean that I'm not going to be bringing them on. I absolutely am. There are absolutely going to be guests on this podcast. Hell, my son was a guest this week. So it's not that I feel like I have to do a solo, but I don't feel like I have to have a guest either. And so that was a crutch that I was using. That was something that I was using to still maintain this idea of me being an introvert, was me using these guests to really kind of bring the energy and change it up. Whereas like, I feel like since I it was a click in my head that I decided, you know what? I'm not going to have a guest for a month. I'm not going to do it. And how I grew as a host in that month really just kept me passionate, and it made me realize, no, I am I'm good at this. I'm really good at this. And then I use that to challenge myself into, now sometimes I have my episodes where I will literally say, you know what? I'm not going to write out. I may write what the one topic is, but I'm not going to do my bullet points. I'm going to let it all come out off the top of my head. And some of my most downloaded episodes are episodes that little to some people that know that I didn't know what I was going to say before I clicked on record. And so that was a muscle that I had to build. And that you got to find for me too, like staying inspired as a creator, staying inspired in anything that I do. That's my job. That's me as a parent. That's me as a human, is I have to always feel a challenge. I have to always feel challenged by whatever it is that I'm doing. If I don't feel challenged, if I feel stagnant, then I start getting bored and I start getting lazy with it. So I always have to find new challenges. Then I build new challenges for myself. And maybe that's something I need to add to the list, is making new challenges for yourself. New, not just milestones. Milestones, I look at as different. Like milestones are results of the things that you do creatively. For me, it's like, find a new challenge and an obstacle for yourself if you don't already have them. Like, there's so many obstacles that just come into being a creative that you don't really necessarily have to make your own at first sometimes. But like live shows for me, a short film for me, like these are all things that I challenged myself to do and I made happen because I wanted to challenge myself as a filmmaker, as a photographer. I have to feel new challenges in everything that I do. Otherwise, the moment that I feel like I master anything, I kind of drop it. And that's just the God's honest truth. I don't know if that sounds toxic or not, but that's the truth. So I have to find and build myself new challenges, and not just milestones, not a download number. Like I feel like I can get to almost any download number that I set my mind to by promoting different or whatever else, or, you know, paid promotion or whatever else. You can get to that number. But what you can't get is the satisfaction. Is that right? Did I say that right? You can't get that by a download number, at least not for me. To me, it's like, all right, can I record an episode without writing down the topic? Can I record an episode with a guest, with just us sitting down, shooting the breeze? And can I pull a great interview out of somebody that I've never met before we started talking? Or somebody like when Matt was on, I put Matt in a position like, that's my cousin, that's my family. But we never really had a conversation like that at that depth. And so that was a new challenge for me. Can I get this out of this man? Can me and my cousin have a great conversation about music with Corey being here from Socially Unacceptable, who him and Matt had never met before? So it's like, can I organize that? Always set new challenges for yourself, new obstacles for yourself. And I think once you start doing these things, if you apply these things, it can help you avoid burnout. I'm not saying that even doing everything that I listed is necessarily going to stop burnout for you or keep you inspired, but hopefully it helps. If you feel inspired by this, if this list has helped you, if hearing me talk and sometimes ramble on has helped you, please never be afraid to reach out to me at TheAwakenedSoulPod, TheAwakenedSoulPod@gmail.com. If you want to email us at CEO Haize, CEOHAIZE, if you want to reach out to me personally. If you also want to leave a voicemail, 614-547-2039. That's it this week. Came in, I did my fucking job. Shout out to my baby. Shout out to Xavier. Like I told him, we'll make sure that I'm going to try to get all kids on here. And who knows how chaotic interview or conversation is going to be with me and all the kids. Matter of fact, I think I just got some inspiration for that, because we always play Uno. We get super competitive and chatty when we play Uno. So maybe I'll just record us, get out the camera. Maybe we'll live stream it of us just doing a family game night and having conversations, kicking it, talking it. So maybe that's what we'll do. See, inspiration just come just like that. But this has been The Awakened Soul Podcast. I love each and every one of you guys. I know I say that every week, but I truly mean it. You guys support me so much, and you help keep me inspired as well. I don't want to go without saying that, but make sure you're following us, make sure you're reaching out, engaging. This has been it. I'll see you lovely and beautiful people next week, or you may see me midweek, because me and Xavier have already went to the movie theater twice since he's been here, And so we'll probably do some family movie reviews, which we used to do more often. So be on the lookout for that. But I'm rambling. We're out this bitch. I love you guys. Peace.
This has been a presentation of the Breaks Media.